cloudy and cold out there. It's been a pretty good Thanksgiving up here, and I hope you have all had an excellent Thanksgiving too. And even if you haven't, it's a good thing to give thanks unto God, and because it releases things in the spiritual atmosphere around you. We look at one place in the Old Testament that God says that He promises to inhabit the praises of His people. And that's also another word for inhabit, is like enthroning Himself. So if you want God in your life, then you praise and worship Him and desire to know Him, to know who He is, and to obey His commandments and to love Him with your whole heart. In fact, that's what Jesus said was the greatest commandment, and not only Him, but earlier in the Bible, and that is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In other words, everything in you, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And when you love God with everything you have, then that also releases you to be able to then love yourself better. And then that means that you can also love others better. So I just wish you the very best of Thanksgiving weeks in this whole season, that you truly give thanks to God. There's certainly plenty of evil that we could look at. But we are, according to the Word of God, we're supposed to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." I can remember years ago that we were in dire straits as a nation. And there came along somebody that most thought was just a sort of a cowboy, an actor, and his name was Ronald Reagan, but yet he turned people's minds towards good things. Everything was looking terrible when he took over. The interest rates, the prime interest rate was up at 21%. And but yet he started just kept talking and speaking words of encouragement and people's hearts, instead of being depressed, were lifted up. And so it is with the Word of God. We can turn to our Heavenly Father, and when we turn to Him, that we are called to give Him praises. When we praise and give glory and thanksgiving to God, He comes, and as He says, He will inhabit the praises of His people. I hope you're part of His people. You know, even though He loves everybody on earth, He doesn't say everybody is His people, but He wants everybody to be His people. And I hope if God isn't your God, if Jesus Christ isn't your Lord, that you come to Him and just ask Him to come into your heart. Say, "Father, forgive my sins." And say, "Jesus, come into my heart." And then just say to that mighty Creator, that God Almighty, to make you the kind of person He wants you to be. And then you come and say, "Thank you for saving me." Come into relationship with your God. That's what God desires. He wants you to be part of His people. He wants to release the powers of the universe into your life, and that you might realize His great love and compassion towards you. In the last weeks, we've been speaking from the book of Matthew, and we finished up the Sermon on the Mount. And then we started into another area following that, and that is Matthew chapter 8. And we saw us where we finished off and started there towards the end of the last program was that we saw that there was a leper that, of course, we don't have very many leprous problems in the world today, but it was a very serious problem earlier. I certainly have seen the place in Hawaii, the leper colony there, and the people were sent there not to live, but to die, and to keep them separate from the rest of the world. And this leper in the first part of chapter 8 that we saw at the end of the program last week came and worshipped. That's right, he came to worship Jesus. And he said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Well, many of you may think, well, if God is willing, that he could heal me. Well, yes, he is willing. But the thing is, you have to come to him. It's a simple thing. He loves you, but we've got to come to him. He says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." So he was going by the law. He was fulfilling the law, you see, for the for this establishment of this new covenant that God wants with us. Jesus Christ was establishing as far as fulfilling the law which no other man had before him. And so he came from heaven, one that was, it says, obedient in all things, even to the point of death, yet he was also tempted in all things, and yet without sin. In other words, what is sin? It's missing the mark. If you're a rifleman or a person that uses bows and arrows, you're aiming for a target. Anything off the mark is missing the mark. Well, that's what's one of the definitions of sin is. You're aiming for something, and you just maybe miss it entirely. You miss the target entirely, or you don't hit the center. You're way off to the side of the target, but you miss the bullseye. You missed the mark. Well, we can all say that certainly we've all missed the mark in one way or another. But God, he comes to us and he loves us. And we see that here. And so he was just telling this man to do what the law prescribed, to go. And the first thing you did, you're supposed to go show yourself to the priest and make an offering. And it says, "Now when Jesus entered Capernaum, that there was a centurion came to him and pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is laying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed.'" You see, there's no distance in healing. And I've experienced that myself. I've been used by the Holy Spirit to speak a word over either the telephone or actually getting up at night in as far as the Lord would awaken me and speak over a certain city that sometime I'll get to perhaps share that experience that people from that city had asked me to come. Not, they wouldn't tell me anything about it, but just things that I saw in the spirit realm when I came. And then just what had happened over the following year. It's a very exciting thing. It was an area that had ranked number one in suicides up until that time. And then because of God's revelation and what he caused a person of God to do, that area that there weren't any more suicides. So it's God is great and greatly to be praised. This is a time of thanksgiving, and so we're talking about people that worship God and they're healed. And this the centurion, he says, oh, just speak the word. He says to him, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said, to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said of the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Yes, Jesus, just speaking a word, and that his words were the ones that created everything. We see that in the beginning of the scripture, is that the word of God, the things were spoken into existence. We see that in the first part of John, that Jesus Christ was called the Word, and that everything was created through the Word, and nothing was created that was created except by Him. And so we know the power of God is a mighty thing, and we want that in our lives, that His power and His kingdom. That, remember, we just mentioned something about the kingdom of heaven. Well, there's also the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. That's what God wants us to enter into, not just in the future, but right now. So, where are we? Where are we? Are we part of His kingdom? Are we believing in Him? Do we realize that He is a good God all the time, and He is a great God all the time that loves us, that He desires that nobody should perish, but that all might inherit eternal life? That means for you and for me, and His desire is for everyone, even though not everybody is going to choose that. There's lots of people that have chosen a different way. Lots of them just lack knowledge. So, we want to know what the Word of God says so that we can be witnesses. A witness goes to a trial, and a witness testifies of what he knows, of what he has seen. Now, each witness has a different perspective. It's like looking, there's often a statement about people looking at an elephant. Or that perhaps they're all blindfolded, and it all depends what part of the elephant they get a hold of. That whether it's a huge tree, what if it's one of their legs, or whether it's a big long trunk of a nose, that or the tail. That it's a very different experience. But yet, each person can see a different side of God, and yet we see that slightly. It's very much in one, but yet all slightly different in the Gospels. We see in the Gospels, we see all the truth that people looking at Jesus' life And each one is looking at it the way the Holy Spirit and how they it was revealed to them of how they saw Jesus Christ. And all these stories, they're very similar, and some of them are identical, but it's all from a slightly different perspective. Why do things look a slightly different? Well, that's because from each person's viewpoint. And see, they're testifying as witnesses, just like any trial in your town or my town, that people might come up. And the witnesses don't totally agree exactly. All the basic elements can be identical, but each one has a slightly different perspective because where they were when things happened. So we see that in the scriptures, that they're telling the identical thing that's happened, but it's from different perspectives. And so we see the things that are slightly different. And it's good to, in fact, it's wonderful to read the various gospels and see what it says about Jesus. And also to see the miracles. We see miracles from a different perspective. Sometimes we say that one person will talk about perhaps one blind man, or another might be talking about two blind men, but it's and sometimes it's different occurrences. Sometimes it might be the same occurrence, but each one sees it from their own perspective, but it's the same miraculous power, and quite often there'll be different events, and sometimes there'll be the same events. But we want to look at this scripture and the Word of God here and see that these are miracles that God wants to come upon us as well. That they're not. Jesus, according to his own word, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, any of the miracles that he did while he was on earth, he's also doing today for anybody that needs and calls upon him and believes in him. So this centurion, this one thing we see, this leper came, he says, inquiring, are you willing? Are you willing? I know you can heal me, but are you willing to heal me? Well, that we might come to God the same way. But we just look here in the scriptures and we see God's answer through Jesus Christ. He tells us, I am willing, therefore be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He talked to the man. He said, oh, don't come to my house. I'm not worthy that you come to my house. Just speak the word, because I know you have authority, Jesus. I have authority. I have rulership over 80, and that's a centurion. You think of century as 100, but a centurion actually ruled, had 80 men under a Roman military man under him. And so he was a commander of 80, a centurion. And beside that, he had servants as well. And so he may have certainly have had 100, but as far as militarily, he would have been the commander of 80. And so we see here this man, and he's saying that he had compassion on his servant, and he also knew authority. He knew that what he was a person under authority, and whatever his commander said, he did it. And whatever he said, those under him did it. He knew that Jesus had authority over sickness. He came to Jesus and he said, you don't even need to come. It's not your touch, just your touching, physically touching my servant. It's your word. That's what I want. I want your word. You just speak the word and your word has power. You don't need to come, because your word has authority. And if you just speak the word, I know that my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled at this, because he said, basically, you got it, you got it, you got it, man. You got it. You understand the kingdom of God. You understand that there is authority and there is power, that there is power in the my words, but also that those words are the will of God. And when we speak the will of God and the purposes of God and declare those things into a situation, it starts releasing the power of God into the situation. It releases His holy angels. It says in the Bible that, I think it is in the Psalms, that His angels only do those things which God says, or what the Word of God says. So you dare not say something or try to get your angels involved unless it's in the Word of God. It's got to agree with the Word of God. So one of the things is it's got to glorify God. It's got to glorify Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, as far as God's eternal power. So, but His desire is His compassion towards you. So He wants to be glorified, but He wants you glorified in the thing is that you'd receive His blessings. He desires you to be made whole and healed because He loves you. He greatly loves you. His desire and His heart's desire is for you. He doesn't want you separate from Him. He wants you to be His child. Therefore, come to Him. Run to Him. Seek Him diligently. He promises those who seek me diligently will find me. We see here also following the, it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw that his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. Just the touch. I came into a house that I was called. I mean, it wasn't that I was just coming to go there. No, people had asked me to come over, and they had a problem with their son. And that he had this great fever. And so when I came into the house, he had this great fever of 104, 105. And I just was there and just prayed a word. And within 5 minutes, the fever had left. And so the power of God, I didn't have the power to do it, of course. I don't have that within myself. Separate by myself. No, that happened to be because the Holy Spirit was in it, and the Holy Spirit came through and did the work. It was the Word of God that did the work. It wasn't me that did the work. It was the power of God, because He loved that child. So He is just like this here. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. When evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast the spirits out with a word. It wasn't some long, drawn-out thing. He just cast them out with a word and healed all who were sick. So we've got to listen to this, that there are not just sick, but sometimes there are people that are demon-possessed, or we might, in some cases, it's oppressed, or have, actually, demons have come in and have allowed a foothold for the enemy, for the enemy of your soul in the spiritual realm, and because of that, a sickness has attached itself to you. So perhaps there might be two things that are needed. Perhaps as far as the spirit realm, that there needs to be something there needs to be a deliverance there. Maybe a person's not possessed at all, but there might be a place, a person being oppressed of the devil. Now, that's not possessed. That's being oppressed. In other words, there's some demonic spirit oppressing or even helping to cause a sickness. So he's cast out these spirits with a word. The demon possessed, it says he cast out the spirits with a word and healed how many that were sick? It says all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, what was that prophecy about? The rest of the prophecy talks about the beating and all the things that happened. And this is referring, one of the scriptures referring to Jesus' crucifixion and the great affliction. If you saw the movie a couple years ago called The Passion of the Christ, The Passion, the Mel Gibson film, that was a pretty true portrayal of what the as far as the beatings and the floggings a person would have, except they couldn't go, even though you might have seen it and thought it was exceedingly graphic, that it was actually, we know, more graphic than that, because many people died from that. Because what would happen is when they would throw that like a whip around a person, because there was various things tied into it, sometimes it would be long enough that the rip come around the opposite side and then they'd yank it back. When they yanked it back, it would cut open the body. So lots of people recorded that, not in the Bible, but in the history of the times, would die from that because it'd rip out their guts. As far as their flesh would be torn apart, and even their bowels sometimes would come out because it would wrap around and tear them out. And so he took, this word is he himself, that's Jesus Christ, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Okay, he had been ministering to them for some time. And we know that all who were sick, he had healed. All that had come that were demon-possessed were delivered. But now he says that he commanded them to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I say, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says to him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my Father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me. Let the dead dare bury their own dead. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us! We are perishing! But he said to them, Why are you fearful? O ye of little faith! O you of little faith! Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So what did he do with the demon-possessed and those that all needed healing? The demon-possessed were set free. The demons were cast out by a word. In other words, his words had power. His words had authority. Then people were healed. They were healed sometimes by him touching them, sometimes by speaking just a word and not touching them. Well, here we see the winds and the sea also responding, and that He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm, because his word had power. His words had power. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be? And even the winds and the sea obey him." And when he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, there were met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could even pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come to here to torment us before the time?" Now, people hadn't really known that he was the Son of God at this time. They knew he was a great miracle worker. But these demons knew who he was. They also knew something else. They said, "Before the time, have you come to torment us before the time?" Well, what are they saying? There's something there. One thing is, they know who Jesus is. They knew, these demons knew who he was. They knew he was the Son of God. What else did they know? They knew that there was a judgment day. That's right. They knew that there was a judgment day because they said, "Have you come to torment us before the time?" In other words, they knew that there was judgment coming to them. But were they going to be tormented before that time? So the Bible talks about that many people, well, it says that people can believe in God. But you see, that doesn't save us. That doesn't heal us. That doesn't set us free. Just knowing that there is a God. These demons knew there was a God. The Bible says the demons know and believe in God. It says even the demons believe. However, that just believing in a God does not save us and put us in relationship with God, because God desires us to be his kids. Jesus called the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." They were saying that they were the sons of Abraham. But Jesus talks about Abraham as being that we are to be the sons of Abraham, and it's by faith. It's through faith in God, of the promises of God, that one is a son of Abraham. That's how we are sons. That's how we are daughters of God, is through faith. And yet, according to the flesh, these Pharisees, who were the Pharisees, many of them, like the high priests, were instruments of Rome. They weren't just elected by God or other Pharisees. They were chosen at the time of Jesus, not well before, but at that time were chosen by whoever Rome decided. So they were not true Jewish people. They might have had a bunch of Jewish blood in them, but they, remember, all the early believers were all Jewish. Jesus Christ was Jewish. Up until the turn of the first century, there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jews that had become Christians, that were spread all over, that had fled the Judean area. but yet there was also probably, at least at that time, there was an equal number of Gentiles or people that were non-Jewish descent also that were Christians. And then later, as the years progressed, there is Jews made up a smaller and a smaller portion. So we're not certainly against the Jewish people. In fact, the Bible clearly states those who bless that nation will be blessed, and those who curse that nation will be cursed. So we don't want to get that into that. We do want to see here that as far as, what have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? That meant clearly that they knew that even though people did not realize who he was, they thought he was just a great miracle worker and healer. The demons themselves knew he was the Son of God, and there was a judgment coming. And they feared that. Now, a good way off from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us, or let us go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. Now, he didn't get any long sentences or anything, just a simple, single word, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. And those who kept them fled. And they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. What had happened? Well, there had happened great economic loss. But beside that, there was this matter of these men were set free, that they had were now went. We read from other chapters, other words in this Bible, that they went about and were, at least one of them wanted to follow Jesus wherever he went, but he told them to, no, you go back, you tell all your cities in this whole area, the ten cities in this area, about what God has done for you. And of course, everybody would know them. Everybody would know how they had been possessed, and how that any time that they were chained up, that they could break any chains, metal chains that were forged, and that they had supernatural power through these demonic spirits, and that they had become very evil, because they were controlled by evil spirits, and a huge number of them. And yet, these demons, they didn't want to be going around from place to place to place. They want to come in and possess your body or an animal's body. You see, they didn't want to come out of these men's bodies, but if they couldn't be in the men's body, they want to be in the animals' bodies. Well, all of a sudden they get in the animals' bodies, and the animals are shocked to pieces, and they just start running violently, and they run down violently into the sea, and they're all drowned. Well, they didn't want the demons in them. Just like the men didn't like the demons in themselves. And yet these men became no longer tormented. They were delivered. They were set free. The life of God came into them. They were new men. They were new creatures in Christ Jesus, because they had been set free of these demons that knew who Jesus was, that knew that they were going to be tormented in the future because of their turning. As far as Jesus said, he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven, that he fell from heaven. that they had departed. They had been thrown out of heaven, thrown down here, and they have come here, and they came to Adam to deceive, came to Eve and deceived her, lied to her. And you see the power, God, the Bible is very clear that the heavens and the universe that are under his control, however he gave dominion and power and authority on earth unto man. But man lost that power through the sin. And then at the time of Jesus Christ, because he was perfect throughout his life, and then perfect in his obedience, it says he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. In other words, he didn't miss the mark. He was straight on target. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled everything that his father... You see, he said over and over again that I do nothing except what I see my father doing. I don't say anything except what I see my father saying. This is the man, Christ Jesus, who, it says, bore our sicknesses, bore our sins and diseases, everything, that we might be made whole. It says that he was righteous and became sin for us, that all of our sin was placed on him. You know, there are two wonderful type of people on this earth, fantastic type of people, and you're one of them. But what are those two type of people? There's those that are saved and those who are about to be saved. My only question is, which one are you? Are you the one that is saved, or are you one that's about to be saved? If you can't say that you're saved, then I just ask you to repeat this. That's right. Repeat this after me. Father. That's right. Go ahead. Say that. Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Thank you for saving me. It's a time of thanksgiving. We should be thankful. Where's Jesus right now? If you prayed that, if you believed that and prayed that, the Bible says if we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, if we trust in him, if we believe in Jesus Christ, that we are saved. And so that means if you believed what you prayed, Jesus came into your heart, that the Holy Spirit came in, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, that a new life is beginning to swell up within you right now. And we see this. This is God's desire, that people be set free, that they are set free from every work of the enemy. So we see here, so he got, it says, after they begged him to depart their region, because they did not understand. They here are these two men that were radically changed. They had been delivered. They had been set free. And so he got into the boat and crossed over and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on the bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." At once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your heart? Why do you think evil in your heart?" We might think the same thing. Do we think evil in our heart of Jesus Christ, his message, his of Christianity, of his great love for us? We dare not do that. I mean, if we do that, we need to examine ourselves and come to God says, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now we know what a paralytic is. We know that our dear Superman years ago, in the movie theaters, he fell from a horse. He became a paralytic. He wasn't able to move anything. And it completely crippled him. While here, the Word of God spoke to another paralytic. And through the Word of God, he was made whole. He was made instantly whole. So that's God's purpose for you and for me, that we be made whole. He wants to make us whole, spirit, soul, and body, all three. He loves us. The most important, of course, is our spirit, that we become alive, that we come alive, that our spirit is made alive towards God, that our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, the Word of God, it says that we are supposed to renew our mind. It says, the Word of God says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's sort of like a caterpillar. Be transformed, caterpillar, into a butterfly. That's what God wants for you and for me. And you see, the beginning of it begins by relationship with God. You see, all of a sudden, we've got it within us to be transformed. All of a sudden, we are that caterpillar, and our destiny is to be completely transformed. We've got life in us all of a sudden immediately, but we haven't yet become what we're going to be. You see, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came, and one of the reasons for the Holy Spirit is to change us from glory to glory into His image. So all of a sudden, we have come alive, and we've become that caterpillar, and we are being transformed. We are growing. We're being nourished. We're being transformed. Then it seems like that we become stronger and stronger. We're feeding on the Word of God. And we may die in the earthly sense, but then we come out of that cocoon that we have gone into, and we are transformed by the Holy Spirit, and we become the image of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we become Jesus Christ. We become the image of Him. Actually, we are part of Him because we become part of the body of Christ. That's right. By trusting in Him, we become alive, and we're being transformed then. How? By the renewing of our mind. Immediately, we come alive. We're born again. We're saved. But then we come to this place that we have to it says, do not be conformed to this world, which is death, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you're feeding on the Word, you're growing as that caterpillar, you're spinning your cocoon, and the Holy Spirit is doing that in you and is changing you from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. God loves you. His desire is for you. His blessings are for you. He arose, it says, arise and take up your bed and walk and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. That's right. God Almighty has given such power to men. How did Jesus do that? Well, Jesus came. He left his power and glory. He did not come here and do all these miracles by his power. All that power was left behind in heaven. But when he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. You see, Jesus spoke the word various times. It was the Holy Spirit that worked through him, that went out through him, through his words, that healed the centurion's servant that was at home, that was paralytic and terribly tormented. The tormenting part was delivered. The paralytic part was delivered. And he was set free. It was the word going out by Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit doing the miraculous work. It was Jesus touching people. It was Jesus, people coming to him in faith. And he says, your faith has made you well. What happened when he spoke that? It's a matter of that faith was then also accompanied by the Holy Spirit, and they were set free, and they were delivered from whatever sickness or bondage they had. And so it says here, now the multitudes marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. You see, Jesus said over and over again, I don't do anything except what I see and hear my Heavenly Father do. And so, you see, he was only doing those things. You see, God the Father loves you and wants those things done for you. And so Jesus went about doing good. And he was speaking what God his Father was speaking. The Holy Spirit was working with him to accomplish those things. The Holy Spirit then, when Jesus left, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. That now you have become part of my body. The Bible clearly says that Jesus Christ is now the head of the body of the church, the Christ, and that you are the parts. Well, how do the parts work? They don't have power except it comes from the head, from Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit comes. And that's why we see miracles today that people are set free, delivered from demons, and people are healed. Now, us people are imperfect people, and sometimes, like the synapses in the brain, sometimes aren't firing completely, and sometimes they fire perfectly, and miracles are wrought and come through people like us that have believed on him. And sometimes they don't. Now, it's not God's fault. It's because of our relationship to him. But it's his word that does the work. It's not because we have to be made perfect. No, he does perfect things through imperfect vessels because he loves people. That's what Jesus does. Jesus came to glorify his Father. The Holy Spirit came to glorify Jesus. When Jesus is glorified, that in turn glorifies the Father. So, Jesus, if you had just asked Jesus to come into your heart, he wants to also fill you with his Holy Spirit, that his Spirit might live in you, and that miraculous wonder-working power might come in your life to not only make you whole, but that you might become an instrument of his love and compassion and grace for everybody else. Oh, people, you are so precious in God's sight. God loves you so greatly, so miraculously, so completely and infinitely. Be a part of what God is doing. So often mankind wants to call upon God, oh, be a part of what I'm doing, be a part of what I'm doing. But God calls out to us, no, you, I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. I want you healed and made whole, and I want you to become an instrument of my healing and wholeness and health to the world, to deliver the world from sin and bondage. You see, the world's in sin, missing the mark. That's what it is, missing the mark. And he wants us to start hitting the mark so that we find God and that we live in his grace and his love and his power towards us. His healing power is really for you. What you've thought impossible or waited till later or till you die and then come back. Well, the Bible says man lives but once and then comes the judgment. So you and I are eternal beings. Yes, there is life after death, but there's also death after death if you're not in relationship with God. So, oh, God loves you. He desires all to be his children. He says that he loves everyone, that he wants no one to perish. The Bible says that Jesus loves you. And God Almighty loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. Don't turn down that. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you and me, whosoever believeth in him would have everlasting life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's God's desire for you. Ask right now. Say, Father, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. And thank you for saving me. That's right. Well, my time is up. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from the Yakima Indian Reservation. And I just speak the grace and love and healing power of God Almighty to you, that you might come and know him as your Lord and Savior. Bless you, bless you, bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.